part of the leadership team. Come on out, hang out with our outreach team, see what we're going to do, hear what we're going to do, and partake in our meeting. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to Diane, and if she's not available, to Dawn and myself. Anytime. Bi-weekly prayer evenings are every other Tuesday at 6:30. The next one will be Tuesday, September 1st, so that's this upcoming Tuesday. It's going to be a busy day for those who have kids and getting their kids in school as well, so that's fantastic. If anyone's interested in overseeing our small groups ministry, just feel free to contact me, let me know. We have had Rhonda step down. She served us so well as our small group leaders, and I'm so appreciative of the work that she did. And it's just a lot of stuff is happening in her life right now, so she just had to take a step back, and we bless her and we thank her for what she did. So if anyone is interested in kind of doing small group stuff and making sure all the material is like theologically grounded and good, contact me, let me know. Otherwise, I'm in charge and I'm okay with that as well, and kind of making sure that all goes smoothly. Sunday school startup and kickoff barbecue is going to be September 13th, so come out for that. There'll be a lot of fun activities and such, and obviously free food, so it's burger time this time. Anyway, that's good. I like that. We're going to be doing burgers, and I always enjoy that. I will take a pause here for my announcements, though. I'm going to call Serena up to the front as she has some announcements and a video that we're going to show. So I'll call her up here.
Good morning, everyone. So you're probably wondering why we're doing this so early. Because I have a goal, and when I have a goal, that means you guys got a goal too. You'll learn that about me. 150 boxes is what I believe we as a church, as a congregation, as a youth can pack every year. 150. Boxes that'll change the life of one child on this planet. And witness is the video that we've seen and the stories that I've heard from the leaders in the community. One box will change a child's life. Last year, if my memory doesn't fail me, we filled about 50. 50's not enough. That's not enough. That's not even close to what we can do as a church. So my challenge to us in this congregation is 150 boxes. And Kelsey, if I'm correct, that's the maximum that we can get. And we're going to fill them. And we're going to fill them. And we're going to start today. We're not going to start in October. We're not going to start in November. We're going to start today. So, beginning this week, Kelsey, I believe, we will have a box in the foyer. And as you guys are out and about purchasing anything, that children, school-age children, can use that can change their lives, please, just drop it in the box. And I will periodically, or myself or Kelsey will periodically take what's in the box and remove it and keep it for when we pack the boxes in November. Because guys, we can do this. We can change the life of one child. And if we do change the life of a child, we've done what we need to do. So let's try to change 150 children's lives. Because like I said, I've read the stories, I've heard the stories, and we see the video, doesn't lie. Also, I'm also the ministry lead for the children's ministries, and I think Kelsey had sent out an email letting you know that we have a startup meeting today. For those of you who are interested, or past teachers, or you don't even need to be a teacher. I'm going to put it out there. You don't even need to be a teacher. All you have to have is the heart to serve Christ and the heart to serve our children. Because our children are the future of this church. And if we can't bring it to our kids, and if we can't stand for our children, who's going to stand when their time comes? So after the service, there will be a brief meeting, like I said, for those who have taught, who are interested in teaching, or who just want to kind of see what's going on. You do not have to have teaching credentials, a teaching certificate, anything. And everything is provided for you. All you have to do is have a heart to serve. And I'm pretty certain that there are a few of you out there that I know for sure would love to serve our, not only our church, but serve our children. And that's all I got for you guys. Thank you very much.
Fantastic. And kids, you know, as you were talking about, like, signs and things that you saw that were pretty rare during your summertime, I saw one the other night, and it was something I hadn't seen since I was maybe 20 years old. It was a gas station sign that read 108.9. So I waited 20 minutes to get the gas because I wanted it. I got in that lineup. I wasn't missing out on that one. Anyways, it's time to do what's in the bag, kids. We haven't done this for a while, so come on down. Figure out if you know what is in that bag. You tell me. A paper. A phone. A toothbrush. There's a lot of random answers here. Come on, anybody got it? Let everybody try. Make room. Oh, a toothbrush, hey? What was I going to clean my teeth with this morning, then? All right, AC, let's bring it out. Yeah, get that zipper. Hi, buddy. Oh, there you go, everybody. It's a nice little piece of clothing there for you. You couldn't. That's the point. I gotta stump you every once in a while. You guys usually get it right. Oh my goodness. Wow, called out like that. That's supposed to be a representation of clothes. I was gonna hang it up here, but I thought I'd get in trouble for that one next to the crosses for sure. The clothing in the Bible, it often symbolizes righteousness and salvation and spiritual identity. We see this when God clothes Adam and Eve. That act shows care and a covering as God provides animal skins for them. Genesis chapter 3, verse 21 reads, "The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them." The Bible also describes followers of Jesus as being clothed with Christ. And what this is talking about is that followers of Christ clothed with Jesus are clothed in a new identity and holiness because of Jesus. Galatians chapter 3, verse 17 reads, "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." Romans 13, 14 reads, "Rather clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh." And beyond physical garments, the Bible emphasizes clothing oneself with the virtues such as compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. This metaphorical clothing reflects a believer's character and relationship with God, showing that inner qualities are more important than outward appearance. The Bible teaches that clothing should honor God through modesty, reflect spiritual identity, and demonstrate godly character, while also guiding practical and ethical behavior in daily life. All right, we're going to read our children's story. And just a warning, obviously Sunday school is not starting until September 13th, as we've noted. So the kids will be hanging out with us, or they could head downstairs to an unsupervised area where there's like VeggieTale videos and stuff, and they just kind of play around down there if you just kind of want a peace and quiet. Feel free to stay down there with them, though, if you choose to. Today's story is called Parable of the Wedding Feast. Once again, Jesus spoke to his disciples in a parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. He sent out his slaves to tell all those who were invited to the banquet that the feast was ready, but they didn't want to come. The king sent out his slaves again and said, "Tell those who are invited, look, I prepared the feast. The oxen and cattle have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast." But they ignored his message again. One man went to his farm, and another went away to his business. But others grabbed the king's slaves and killed them. The king was so angry that he sent out his troops to kill those murderers and burn down their city. Then the king said to his slaves, "The banquet is ready, but those who were invited are not worthy to come. So go out to where the roads leave the city and invite everyone you find to the feast." So the slaves went out on the roads and gathered everyone they found, both evil men and good. The wedding feast was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who was not dressed for a wedding. So the king said to him, "Friend, how did you get in here without wedding clothes?" The man was speechless. Then the king told his servants, "Tie him up hand and foot, throw him into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen." And so the Christ connection reads, Jesus' invitation of eternal life in the kingdom of heaven is a free gift. There is nothing we can do to earn our way into heaven. Jesus did all the work when he died for our sins on the cross. When we accept the invitation, Jesus gets us ready by clothing us in his righteousness. Jesus is alive and invites us to join him in heaven, the great wedding feast. All right, kids, if you want, you can go get some work booklets outside. You can go downstairs, hang out there, do whatever you want. We do have an amazing speaker we want to hear about today who's serving in Palau, and just hear what they're doing. Dustin's going to be here. He's sharing his missionary trip with us, and Nicia and the girls. I do want to pray over them. Come on up, Dustin. I'll pray over you, and off you go. Oh, sorry, I do need to pray over our church stuff as well quickly here, but I'll do that. Sorry? Grab that mic, yeah. So, some things in our church life that I've been asked to pray for this morning is for Jason Radcliffe. You probably don't know him, he doesn't actually attend here, but he has helped us out with our IT stuff before. He's a friend of ours, and his mom had a stroke, Edith, and is in the hospital and is not responding well. So we're going to pray for her as well at this time, and for Dustin and Nicia as they serve overseas. So Lord Jesus, we just thank you so much today for Dustin coming here to share with us, and we just pray for health right now for this family as they prepare to welcome a new one into the world sometime shortly. And so we just bring you the praise. We bring you the honor and the glory, and we thank you so much for bringing Dustin here this morning. We thank you for the safety in traveling back and just the kind of hectic headache of making sure that all the medical practices are set up for Nicia and the little one that is growing inside right now. So we pray for that little one. May they be blessed. May they be pursuing you with all of their might. May they see the strength of their father and mother as they devote themselves to you, Jesus, and serve you wholeheartedly. And so we pray a blessing upon this ministry. and you would serve them and go before them, prepare the hearts of the people, keep Dustin safe as he flies those skies and in emergency situations and dropping off supplies and all different situations, Lord Jesus. We pray for your anointing upon him and that you continue to bless him. So we thank you for Dustin. And Lord, we pray right now for Jason as well, who's in the hospital with his mom, just watching over her. And we just pray for your healing touch upon Edith right now. Lord, we just pray even more than that, that she would see you in this moment. She would see you and turn to you, even as she lies there, extremely sick. So we pray for Edith, that she would know you, Jesus. And that Jason himself would turn to you as well at this time. And we pray this all in your mighty name. Amen.
Hello. Well, thank you. Good morning. Appreciate the introduction. For those of you who don't know us, our family, we are the Dreegers. My name is Dustin, and pictured here on the screen is my beautiful wife, Nasia, and our two adorable daughters, Elodie and Ayla. They would have loved to have all been here today. Our due date for our next child is actually September 13th, and the delivery is going to be a little bit sooner by C-section, so unfortunately she was not able to make it this morning. It is wonderful to be with you all this morning, so thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to share how God has led our family halfway around the world to serve him as a pilot family with Mission Aviation Fellowship. If you would humor me for a moment, I'd like you to take a moment to imagine something. Imagine you're living on an island, and the next boat might not come for 3 to 6 months. If someone in your family becomes critically ill today, there is no ambulance, there's no highway. In fact, there's no other way to get life-saving care. The only way to get the help you need is by air. In situations like these, Mission Aviation becomes so much more than transportation. It becomes a lifeline. This is a reality for many of the people who are living in Palau on the remote outer islands and in the greater Micronesia region that we serve. If I can get a quick show of hands, who here has heard of Palau before? Okay, if you asked me 2 years ago, I wouldn't have heard of it either. If you were to look on a map, where exactly is Palau, you'd see that it is a small island. It is in the Western Pacific Ocean. It's located in the greater Micronesia region, but it is its own nation, just north of Indonesia and east of the Philippines. If you search for Palau online, you will probably see something like this. Stunning beaches, luxury resorts, and some of the best diving in the world. But when you look beyond the tourist brochures, you'd see a very different reality. Palau may look like a paradise to its visitors, but for those who are living on its remote outer islands, everyday life is shaped by limited access to healthcare, education, and other essential services. And while the hardest of these challenges are not always experienced by those that are living on the main island of Palau, the reality is, even on the main island, a minimum wage job at $5.50 an hour doesn't even earn enough in an hour to buy a gallon of gas. I'm sure they'd love to see that $1.08 per liter there. It's $7.62 a liter here, or per gallon, I should say, and that's U.S. funds. The cost of groceries is often twice what we pay for here in Canada. And on the outer islands, it's even harder. There are very few jobs available for anyone, and access to even basic services is extremely limited. And for the outer islands of the greater Micronesia region, many of them are regularly threatened by typhoons and tropical storms, and when they hit, they leave great destruction in their wake, such as you see here. But the greatest challenge is isolation. Many of these outer islands, most of them, have no regular air service and rely on government supply boats that might come only every 3 to 6 months. And while some of them are fortunate enough to have weekly boat service, even these travels can be dangerous through waters that are often unpredictable. For most of the islands that are separated by hundreds of kilometers of open ocean, their communities have limited access to education and healthcare, if any. In a medical emergency, waiting for the next boat simply is not an option. Yet the need isn't only physical, it's spiritual as well. Many of the communities on these islands have never clearly heard the gospel, while others still practice witchcraft or traditional animistic beliefs mixed with nominal Christianity or Catholicism. Depression, addiction, and hopelessness are very real struggles in these communities. To help put the distance into perspective, we've overlaid a map of the United States onto the Micronesia region. It helps to put in perspective how far apart these islands really are. But instead of highways and bridges connecting them, it's nothing but vast stretches of open ocean. And that is why aviation is so important. Every flight helps overcome the barriers of distance and isolation, bringing medical care, essential supplies, pastors, ministry teams, and above all, the hope of Jesus Christ to people who might otherwise remain beyond reach. For our family, as we began to understand the needs, we began to understand and see why God had redirected our family to serve there. Now, it's been a while since our family's last visit here. Many of you may not remember where we're at. I can't even remember if we were slated to go to Lesotho yet, but just to back up a little bit, how did a Canadian pilot and his family end up in Palau? Well, after 4 years of flying medical evacuations in Canada, Nacy and I joined Mission Aviation Fellowship in 2023. We spent just over a year building a support team, completing training, and preparing to move to Lesotho in southern Africa. But then everything changed. As our departure drew closer, it became clear that the previous flight experience I had flying instrument approaches and high altitude operations, it was not the best fit for the challenging mountainous terrain of Lesotho. After over a year of preparing for this opportunity, it suddenly seemed like the door was closing, and we wondered if our dream, Nacy and I, our dream that we had for over 10 years, if that was coming to an end. And our hearts sank a bit. During that season, though, a passage came to mind of scripture in the Old Testament. I don't know about you, but there's been so many times where I've read through and a passage takes on a new light. I never really evaluated the emotion of this experience. In Exodus, when the Israelites have left Egypt and they have come up to the Red Sea, they're blocked in. They have nowhere else to go. For me, I always knew what's going to happen. God's going to part the sea. But this time I stopped and thought about it. They didn't know. They were terrified. But how does Moses respond? He says, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm." Why? "The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still." Now, we recognize this was a specific command for specific time and people, but for us, it was a strong reminder of the sovereignty of God and our need to rely on Him and His plans and power in every circumstance. It felt like God was asking us to wait on Him and His plans, and that we should be still and allow God to make a way. It would have been easy to have become discouraged during this time, and to be honest, there were some very difficult days, but we trusted that God was still leading us, even though we didn't see where the path was going. And just like God made a way for the Israelites, He opened a door for us as well to continue on. I was able to have some further training in Mission Aviation Training Academy in Washington. And through this, our family was offered a unique opportunity. We could still continue serving with MAF, but we could serve on loan with Pacific Mission Aviation. And like many of you, I'd never even heard of Palau before. But after learning more about the ministry of Pacific Mission Aviation, we became convinced that this was exactly where God was leading our family. PMA had a significant need for pilots with the exact flight experience that I had, and God had already prepared me for that role. Looking back now, we can clearly see that what felt like a detour was actually God's perfect direction. And today, we have the privilege of serving with Pacific Mission Aviation through MAF in the Greater Micronesia region, based in Palau. Pacific Mission Aviation began more than 50 years ago with one man who recognized that aviation could save lives. That man was Edmund Kalau. He was actually a former Luftwaffe pilot for Germany in World War II. His life was radically transformed by the gospel after the war. And when God called Edmund to Micronesia, he saw firsthand the devastating consequences of living in isolation. People who were trying to get medical help on boats coming to district center hospitals were dying over and over. Convinced that aviation could help bridge that gap, he stepped out in faith to establish an aviation ministry. In 1974, he flew the first aircraft to YAP, located in Micronesia, and the following year, Pacific Mission Aviation was established. Today, more than 50 years later, Pacific Mission Aviation has the privilege of continuing that same mission through aviation, medical ministry, church planting, and gospel outreach across Micronesia and the Philippines. And now our family has the privilege of partnering with PMA to carry that mission forward. Our family has settled in well. While I've been busy with many flights, I've also learned a new aircraft type to expand my capabilities and joined music ministry at our local church that we attend in Palau. Nacy has been busy setting up the house, caring for our kids, dealing with a challenging pregnancy, helping with Bible studies, getting to know locals in the community, and so much more. And our kids love it as well. One of the greatest privileges for us has just been the knowledge that we're part of something bigger than ourselves. This picture you see here, we were not directly involved, but it's the result of many PMA outreaches. Gospel outreaches where these individuals have now decided to declare their faith in Jesus publicly through baptism. It's a powerful reminder that while aviation may open doors, it's God who changes hearts. One unique aspect about PMA in Palau is that much of our ministry, almost all of it, is funded through sightseeing flights. These scenic flights provide funding for most of our ministries. They provide employment for locals, and they also help bridge a gap for many pilots who have just completed flight school and are interested in serving in missions but need more flight experience, or they don't know about serving in missions and want to give it a try. They can come out for a year and they can gain some valuable experience on more complex aircraft, after which they can decide they can stay on with PMA flying even more challenging missions or join organizations such as Mission Aviation Fellowship. But perhaps the greatest opportunity that these flights provide is a chance to share the hope of Jesus Christ. As we fly visitors over the scenic, breathtaking islands of Palau, the conversations I have often turn to why our family has left the career opportunities and comforts of Canada to serve in Palau. These questions open the door to share the gospel and the reason for our hope. We also offer Gideon's Bibles in multiple languages. We get many tourists come from China, and so we can give them Chinese Bibles. They come to us. We don't even have to go to a closed country. Passengers can continue exploring the message of Christ long after their flight has ended. It's a wonderful reminder that God can use even a sightseeing flight to introduce people from around the world to the life-changing hope of the gospel. I'd love to show you a short video that I think will give you a good glimpse into the ministry of PMA, as well as the people that we have the privilege of serving.
Gear down and bolted. No bumps on. Selector's correct. adaptable and it can make a change. Pacific Mission Aviation is a non-profit Christian mission organization. It was started 50 years ago by a German missionary to provide outer island medevacs. They would fly the plane to the outer islands and bring passengers back no charge so they could get life-saving treatments like a dose of antibiotics or a cesarean section for a complicated pregnancy. My name's Brock Welch. I'm the director of maintenance and manager for Pacific Mission Aviation. We're here in Palau. Over the course of the last 50 years, our outer island medevac services have expanded into outer island passenger transportation and cargo transportation. We also do search and rescue when people go missing in boats, and we do surveillance flights in partnership with the local governments if they need to check on something.
Hi, my name is Mark Abbott, and I'm a pilot with the Pacific Mission Aviation based in Yap Island. And this morning, about noon, we got a call from the hospital that a man needed urgent attention. They would have to transport him by boat over to the airport in New Lippi, and then we would pick him up there and medevac him back to the hospital here on Yap Island. Basically, got medevac and from his island to the hospital here in less than 3 hours. We're happy with that and pray that he recovers well.
My name is Amos Collins, and I serve as the chief pilot for Pacific Mission Aviation. I'm based here on the island of Yap, and we operate two King Airs and on occasion the Queen Air. PMA's greatest needs are pilots and mechanics. We also have a lot of jobs like finance, construction, ground personnel, maintenance people for the facilities. And then we have a church branch that also needs pastors and church workers, people that are helping in the church, Bible studies. Every aspect of ministry that includes aviation or church, we can take somebody and plug them into that.
So even though we're here as missionary pilots and mechanics, we're first missionaries, helping to share the love of Christ. The hope we have in Him is our number one goal. And the airplanes are just a great excuse for us to be here and do that.
One part of that video mentioned search and rescue. I'd like to share a story with you, a call that I don't think I'll ever be able to forget. It was earlier this year. I was working in the office, catching up on paperwork and preparing for a Bible study I was going to be leading when the phone rang. A call had come in requesting an urgent search and rescue operation. So what had begun as a day of celebration on the island of Angar had turned into tragedy. People from multiple islands had gathered together to celebrate the reopening of a newly renovated school. But as the celebrations came to a close, the weather started deteriorating rapidly, and large waves crashed against the shoreline. Despite the dangerous conditions, a 38-foot boat carrying 12 people decided to depart anyways. It was only a few minutes after leaving the shoreline that the engine quit. The captain desperately tried to restart the engine, but a large wave came in and turned the boat sideways, and then a second wave came and flipped it over entirely. Of the 12 passengers, 8 of them were able to make it to shore, but 4 were still missing. PMA immediately launched a search and rescue operation, but as the weather continued to worsen, the search became increasingly dangerous. Yet, we continued as long as we were safely able. We knew that time was critical in finding these lost people. 3 of the missing passengers were eventually recovered, though unfortunately they hadn't made it, and 1 was still missing. As daylight faded and the conditions became too dangerous to continue, our efforts shifted from searching to caring for those who had survived. We transported the injured to the main hospital on the main island of Palau, where multiple ambulances were waiting, and then flew back one final time to carry the remaining passengers and their belongings home before darkness and heavy rain made flying completely impossible. What had really happened didn't strike me. It didn't set in until I started offloading the bags from the planes. They were still soaked with water, the smell of salt heavy in the air, and I couldn't help but think of all the families who wouldn't be bringing home their loved ones. Moments like these remind me that PMA's ministry is about far more than flying airplanes. It's about being there for a community when they have nowhere else to turn. It's about serving people with compassion in their darkest moments, treating every person with dignity, and demonstrating the love of Christ through practical care. And while we couldn't change the outcome of that tragic day, God allowed us to stand alongside a grieving community to help by searching for the missing people, bringing the injured to safety, and providing practical help in this way for families during a time of unimaginable loss. That day was a powerful reminder of why God brought our family to Palau. It's a privilege to serve a community that entrusts us with moments like these, and it's our prayer that through both practical care and showing the love of Christ, that the people that we serve would one day come to know the hope that can be found only in Him. Whether we're flying a medical evacuation, searching for people lost at sea, transporting a pastor, or handing a tourist a Bible, every flight we do is a chance to point people towards Jesus, and that is why we fly. After nearly a year in Palau, we've made the decision to continue serving there through Mission Aviation Fellowship. Looking back, we can clearly see that what felt like a detour and a disappointing change of plans turned out to be God's perfect plan. Today, we're convinced we're exactly where we need to be. So we want to say thank you. Thank you, Mirror Lake Alliance, for giving us the opportunity to share what God is doing in Palau. It's a privilege to be here with you, and we are deeply grateful for your encouragement, your prayers, and your partnership in this ministry. As we reflect on God's leading in our lives, we're reminded that this ministry is only possible because of the body of Christ. When the phone rang during that search and rescue, we never once had to stop and ask, could we respond? And that was only possible because people like you, churches like you, have already made that flight possible. Long before the emergency happened, your prayers and faithful generosity were already at work. Whether it's a medical evacuation, a search and rescue mission, transporting a pastor, or sharing a Bible with a tourist, every flight is made possible through the partnership of God's people. So if you're already partnering with us, we want to say thank you again. Your prayers, your encouragement, your financial support are helping to bring help, hope, and healing, and the life-changing message of Jesus Christ to people who might otherwise never hear. If God is prompting you to become part of this ministry individually, I'd love to meet with you after the service, or if you just want to chat and learn a little bit more about PMA and its ministries, there's much more that I don't have time to share. But please stop by the table, pick up a prayer card or a magnet, or just come chat. If you want, you can scan this QR code coming up on the next slide with your phone. That'll bring you to our website with Mission Aviation Fellowship. As we prepare to welcome our third child in less than a week, we'll see, and eventually return to Palau, we would especially appreciate your prayers for our family, for the people we serve, and that God would continue opening doors for the gospel throughout Micronesia. Today, I hope you'll remember Palau, not because of the beautiful beaches, but because it's a place where God is faithfully at work, changing lives one flight at a time. Thank you.
Thank you, Dustin, for sharing that with us. And what a beautiful picture of what the church is and should be. Yeah, I like that, where they take them out for sightseeing tours, and Sure, we can do that too. I think the church has been stuck in the sightseeing for far too long, where we just like to look out and be like, it's beautiful here, it's beautiful, and kind of do life with people. But then they're able to hand over Bibles and languages that they speak, and they're able to share the gospel. And then on top of that, they're involved in search and rescue. And that should hit home for each one of us, and we should see the reality in all of that on a spiritual level, where it's just like, there are people out there that are dying and they don't know who Jesus is. And we play a role in helping to bring that message to people. So that's my prayer for us as a church. That we each identify that we all have a gift and we all have a calling upon our lives, and we're to utilize that. So I'm going to pray once again for Dustin and Nisia and just their beautiful ministry. I'm going to pray for our church as well as I do so. Lord Jesus, we bring you all the glory this morning. We thank you that we could hear about a different nation and a different ministry entirely as they serve in different capacities. So I pray even as we hear those stories that we would be impacted in a way that we would be challenged to utilize what we have before us as well. That we would minister in the ways that we hear about or we see and just be in awe of your working in your presence, God. Jesus, we continue to pray for Dustin and Nisia as a new one is about to arrive for them, and may they share in that joy. And then as they do so, head back to Palau and just minister and serve to the best of their abilities. May they impact those people in ways that would pull them away from their religious superstitions and such and pull them towards you, Jesus. And so we pray for Palau. We pray for all those little islands around there. And Lord Jesus, that you would work through ministries like MAF and Pacific Aviation as well. Jesus, anoint them with your words and bless them mightily and have those people turn towards you. And so we pray for that for our own little humble community here as well. We would find ways to sightsee, that we would find ways to share the gospel, that we would find ways to do search and rescue around here in your name, Jesus. And change lives and turn people towards you. So we pray that all in your mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Dustin, for sharing. You know, it's pretty emotional to hear the stories.
Yeah, I get it.
Our family served overseas and
did exactly that, so I get it.
But we're just going to close our service. We wanted to bless
you
and with them with a closing song, but also we want to bless each other. The Bible says encourage one another with the words, right? So we're going to sing this closing song as an encouragement to each other, but also to Dustin and Nasia and the family and the baby that's due imminently. The goodness of God. We know this song. Let's stand together as we sing it, and let's just sing it as a prayer and as a blessing, okay? I love you, Lord.
All my days I've been held in your hands. The moment that I wake up until I lay my head on what I sing of the goodness of God
all my life.
If you have been faithful, if you have been so faithful, if you have been faithful, then I am of the goodness of God. I'm
I simply finished today's service with those words from Matthew 28 that hopefully we're familiar with, starting in verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." And that's our challenge. Have a great day.